Shusar Shishiva, the Mashgiach, and the Choshva Rabbeim, and the Bachrim. I was asked to speak by the Chanukah Masiva again. This seems to have become my official position. I'm not exactly sure. It's like having a Chanukah Masiva without latkes and donuts, and without Rabbi Victor coming standing up here at the front. I'm not really sure what happened. In fact, somebody bought my kids a little tyke Chanukah set. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but it comes with a house, a set of grandparents, presents, latkes. I'm a little oversized guy speaking like the I don't know how this got out of this. It is the same thing in the world, but it seems that it's made this mainstream. I'm not really sure how, but this is part of the Chanukah set. You get presents, latkes, and a little speech. But I was asked to speak about the Malone family, as I've spoken about before. Some guys have different artists what they would like. The Rosh Hashiva, please mention that, they asked me to please mention that the pickles are American. This is a whole upgrade. We will not mention the mustard because they couldn't pull it together. I'm not sure why. But it seems you have to have some sort of trade-off. Baruch Hashem, we do have soda. With a plethora of choices, Mo, that word was for you, Mitzvah Shem, the Malones, it seems that you could add on names, but I'm not really sure. We hope that there's going to be a course after this. We're not really sure. We're not going to give them the 3-for-1 deal on this call. But after all is said and done, so we're back here, again, speaking about Hanukkah, and I always get stuck. What exactly am I supposed to speak about Hanukkah? You know, we spoke about many different things. So I was trying to figure out what I was going to say. And then we had the super shmooze this morning by going to Rabbi Tan Feiner, and I really have nothing left to say because he was covered it all in about literally in a 12-minute span. I mean, and as an aside, and it was, you know, I'm saying it like as a joke, but the truth is, this is totally zeitig to my speech. But I just had a horror when I was listening to him, speak, and everybody was, whoever was there, had a tremendous anah just to hear his godless and Torah. And I was thinking to myself, how many people were able, and a lot of the reaction of people is like, I don't understand what he's saying anyways, I didn't see the Maram HaKaymis, he's speaking too fast, he knows much more than me, he knows this. And the feeling about the shmoozes is like, okay, well, let's say it, you know what I'm saying? It's pizza day, come on, let's go. But I was thinking to myself, even if you didn't agree, didn't understand, didn't hear, whatever it is, but to see somebody like that, and this is a lesson I feel that I took for myself that I'm just sharing with everybody, to see somebody like that whose intensity and his drive and his love of Torah, it's so blatantly obvious to hear him say it, that to watch his delivery and the things that make a difference to him, quoting pages and Svarim, and yeah, he has a wonderful memory, and he has a super memory, and it doesn't make a difference. There are many guys here who I have heard them talk about stats of very important things, you know, they can name to you, you know, what high school, the nose tackle on the Dallas Cowboys in 1987 played by. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's how important it is. But you see the intensity and the love for his Torah, and no matter whether you understood it or not, but that is definitely something on Hanukkah for sure, maybe we'll get back to it. And we'll tie it in, but something for sure that everybody could have taken away from it, and I hope that you did. Well, getting back to our point. So after he was nice enough to let me speak about him, but now I have to find a topic to speak about. So I decided to talk about the actual Masiba itself. There's a Shiloh over here. Why are we making this gala affair on Hanukkah? This is very beautiful with Suda. However, we know in Halacha, the Halacha is the state, and the Torah brings it down, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, is that there's no mitzvah of Suda on Hanukkah. There's a mitzvah of Lahoidois Ulahala. Marami Rutenberg says, Lefikach, therefore all the Sudas that you make on Hanukkah are Sudas or Rishos. They're not really Sudas mitzvah. You mix enough Kamil Alocha, but again Alanisim, different things. So why are we making the Masiba? Why is this such a big deal? The second question that I had was, and this might be a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but we know that there's a little bit of a minhag amongst many different people. Some people give Hanukkah gelt, and some people give Hanukkah presents. So my shaila was, is there any makar for this idea of giving Hanukkah presents on Hanukkah? Is there a makar for it? So some people want to say that the makar is the Yevonim. But as everybody who hangs around America during this time, well, this year it's like a little different. It's like, you know, because now, because of the way the year falls out, we're dealing with a different British holiday. You know, so I was reading somewhere that the people are making donuts stuffed with turkey. Okay, listen, ain't going to sell a lot of donuts that way. But, like, there's all different things. So, Pasha, that's where, you know, maybe that's where it comes from, the whole concept. But is there really a car for presents? And I thought really maybe it's not really such a shiloh, because if somebody gives you a present, the answer is, where does it come from? Who cares? Let's really make a difference. The guy's going to be a present. Give me another one. It doesn't make a difference. But after, we'll try to understand this. Now, just to you know, to make the kasha a little bit starker, in the first kasha, just to understand, what does it mean, Lord Zulahalo? What does it mean that we want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is it Lord Zulahalo? So the Bach in Siman Tov Reishayin says, is that on Purim, Haman was trying to destroy us, trying to physically destroy us. Mashenke, Machanaka, the destruction was something that was all, that was in the destruction of religion. And because of that, the mitzvah is L'hoidus L'halal as opposed to Mishtav Simcha. So again, in halacha, the way to get around it is that we say, it's brought down halacha, that therefore at the Sudas we should sing Shiras and Shibachos, like we were singing before, to speak the Vaitari like Dalilah spoke. And that makes it into a Sudas mitzvah. But Etzem, that concept is true of everything. On a Tuesday afternoon, if you sit down and you sing Shiras and Shibachos to Hashem, you say Sudas mitzvah, you have Shoshlem, but Bakama speaks out, he says, this is the story, that makes it into Sudas mitzvah. So, yeah, this is a Sudas mitzvah, it's very nice, nobody's complaining. American pickles and corned beef and everything, it's very schmuck, nobody minds. But, why does it have to be now? Let's go with the mitzvah, Lord Zulahalo, let's work on that. Why are we bringing in something extra? The shaila is clear. Now, why are we being machmer on something that l'chayr is not really something to be machmer on? So, I think the answer could be found in understanding a little bit what it means l'hoidos l'halal, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look in the Bach, in the beginning, in Tafresh Ayin, if you take a closer look at what he says over there, he explains that the reason why Klal Yisrael suffered, and the reason why we suffered these terrible gzeiros in the times of the Yevonim, his lashon is shehisrashalnu mehavoida. We became weak from the avoida. And he says, therefore, like the Braisa says, is that Antiochus said, is that there is avoida that they do, and if you stop them, then we'll be able to cut them off. He says the korban atomid and the mitzvah of the menorah, and if we get them, that's the source that protects them. If we stop that, we're in the clear. And the middle, they lost that. He tried to stop it, took over the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And when they came back, how did they get it back? Is that they were moisa nefesh in order to bring it back. They said, you know what, we can't have this. We can't have that the Beis HaMikdash is overrun by the Yevonim. We're going to take it back and we're going to do the avodah again. So let's be medayik in the Lashon Hashem, Yisrashalnu me'avodah. Yisrashalnu me'avodah means a weakening. Yisrashalnu me'avodah does not mean that they stopped. If you would walk into the Beis HaMikdash on the day before Antiochus came, the menorah was lit, the Karban Tumah was brought, everything was being done regular. So what does it mean, Hisroshanu? What does it mean that they were weak? So I think everybody understands it in a certain sense, in our own, you know, in our own world. So Shanu means a weakening. Something is so normal, and something is so regular, that it suddenly become out of touch with the importance. It's like a guy, he comes in at the beginning of the Zman, and he starts coming to Minyan, he's very makbara coming to Minyan, davening is very important, he gets up, and he comes to davening. Then one day, he's not feeling so well, he's nauseous, he's that, everybody knows all the excuses, my stomach is killing, until you see him at breakfast drinking hot chocolate, which I'm not really sure how that works. I had a story, this is when I was a bachur, some guy told me that he had to go home to America, because he had a doctor who had to check out his stomach. While he was telling me this, he was eating an entire chocolate cream pie. My son, I'm like, really? He said, yeah, it's a strange diet. I don't know. But you know, one of those very, very sick mornings that you possibly can't get up. It happens to be cold and rainy, and you went to sleep at 4 o'clock, right? So then you don't come anyways to Shacharis that morning. Then the next day you come, it's a little bit shvacher. By the end, by the time Hanukkah comes, you decide you're going to be mechazik. And you comment to your friend, he says, it's really a nice minug that they have here in Eretz Yisrael. They duchen during Elul and on Hanukkah too. It's such a beautiful minug. That's what happens. That's his Hisra Shalom. it becomes very, very weak, and at a certain point, you like slowly like start to lose it. It becomes very, very weak. That's his Rosh Hashanah. You become weak. What's the pshat? Why is it such a taina? Because the truth is, when you have something that needs to be done every single day, the tog teglich, as they say in Yeshiva Sprach, the every single day of it is a vice, shows how important it really is. We're used to making a big deal out of things that come around once in a while. And that's true. There is a certain chashivas to it. Even in halacha, there's chashivas to it. But we have to understand, if there's something that's protecting us, something that's keeping us strong, and Hashem tells us, do it every single day, there's a reason why we need that. The every day of it, the consistency is something that tells us that this is very important. And because it's every day, is a reason why we lose sight. Instead of focusing on the importance, it's like, I don't need to do it today, because I'll do it tomorrow. And if I don't do it tomorrow, I'll do it the next day. It's coming back. That makes a separation between us and Hashem. Hisrashanu ba'avoida. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you don't understand. I'm giving you these things because I want to protect you. The menorah, the tamid, these things save Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says, nobody in Klal Yisrael went to sleep with an avera or got up with an avera because of the carbon tamid. You brought a carbon tamid shel tzarayim, shel ben arbayim, in order to be mechaper on the avoinus that they did during the day. And they brought a carbon tamid in the morning to be mechaper the avoinus they did at night. We're talking about Klal Yisrael walking around clean. No avers. And suddenly it becomes so mundane. It's not important. We don't need to do it. And we lose sight of it. Because Baruch Hu says, you're going to have to bring this back. I'm going to take it away from you. And Klal Yisrael suffered with the Xeris by Yavon. And Yavon got it, Yavon made it very, very miserable for them. On many, many different levels. Until people were Moiser Nefesh. Let's try to understand what it means, Mesiras Nefesh. What is Mesiras Nefesh? This concept of Mesiras Nefesh is something that we, as middle-class Americans, have very, very little shaykhus to. It's a concept that we can't really understand. Mesiras Nefesh, a person is willing to give up his life. We've had conversations in Shir about different things. If somebody would come, this was the question, somebody would come to you and say, be Michal Shabbos or I'll shoot you, what would you do? And it's hard to understand. People don't, that's a choice? I should die? Now, does that mean that the person is out of touch? Is that the person doesn't care about Hashem? We don't live with that concept. So what does it mean, Mesiras Nefesh? The idea of Mesiras Nefesh means is that I have to give up of myself. Mesiras Nefesh means that I go beyond what is normal for me. I one time saw a magnet on a fridge. It says, your life begins where your comfort zone ends. That's where your life begins, right there. You're comfortable, everything's good, I'm happy, my bed is comfortable, my roommates are good, my gemara is fine, my seat is fine, the temperature in the base medrash is perfect. Right there, when something changes, that's where your life begins. Mesiras Nefesh says, we're changing that. We're taking it to another level. I'm going beyond myself. I'm taking this somewhere else. It's not about me anymore. There's something much bigger. What does it mean to think? There's two types in Lahoides. One of them is to admit the emes. It's very difficult to look at the truth. The truth hurts. It hurts. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we try to measure ourselves up. And we don't fit. It doesn't go. L'hoides l'halel says is that I can say the truth. And not only can I say the truth, but there's another pshat, l'hoides, where I thank Hashem, where I recognize that it's not totally in me anymore. Chanukah was a time when the Maccabees, the Hashmonaim, said, we will not tolerate anymore that this Rashal Mamei Avoida. We're not weak anymore. We can't be weak in our Avoida. It might cost us our lives. And on their Madrega, that was their Mesiras Nefesh. The Mesiras Nefesh was that we don't care. Roch Bakli, I'm going to die. But I must stand up and take a stance about my relationship with Hashem. There's no more weakness. I'm not weak. I'm strong. And strength sometimes means giving up things of yourself. In fact, most of the time it means death. The giving up of yourself. I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm not number one. And I'm going to give that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you do that, that's L'Hoidos L'Halel. L'Hoidos L'Halel says, is that we can praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We recognize, we plug into something bigger. Something totally bigger than us. And we say, it's not me anymore. Once I take myself out of the picture, it's about me connecting to Hashem. I did what I can, and now Hashem will do the rest. And this is really almost like a stira that every Jew lives with every day. On one hand, we have to do everything we can, because if we're not doing everything we can, then we're not connecting. Then we're still in our comfort zone. On the other hand, we have to recognize that no matter what we do, it's only because we're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being outside of myself, on one hand, being outside of myself to push myself to the limits, and on the same token, flip that coin and say that I am beyond myself, and I realize it's out of my control, and I'm connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mesiras Nefesh created the Yom Tov of L'Hoidos L'Halel. I saw a beautiful line. I was learning with Molichta last night, and we saw a beautiful line in the Sisei Chaim. He says, what happened? There was Nisan that came from this. Nisan Gluyim that happened in Hanukkah. Zot the Sisei Chaim, he says, when a person hooks up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get a present from Hashem, that's not totally in what I'm doing. I'm not getting paid. I didn't go ahead and do this, therefore Hashem gives me this. I put myself beyond myself. I said, it's not me. It's you, Hashem. But my avodah was to get to that point and to be there where I realize that I'm out of control. When I get a present from HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that, the sky's the limit. Then it's over. I don't have to worry about it. It's not like, I only did the mitzvah like this. So if I only did the mitzvah like this, Hashem is only going to give me that. That's not the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you whatever He wants to give you. He can make oil burn for 8 days. He can have 6 people beat 1 million. He can do whatever you need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you exactly what you need. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no limits. Normally we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we look at him and he says, listen, I did this, you do that. But there's a way of getting beyond it. Being Mersa Nefesh, taking it to another level, and recognizing that it's all Hashem, that gives me the ability to be Mekabel presence from HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Shir. Which could be the Maror Mokum. Why we get presents on Hanukkah? The idea of something that we don't even really deserve. You know, people don't deserve it. I remember my friend told me, he said he remembers his mother, his uncle was coming to the Hanukkah Mesiva, and his mother says, oh, I gotta get something for the nephews. So she went out and bought them a Nintendo Game Boy. I know I'm behind the times, but it was black and white with those cartridges. She was like, okay, I'm all excited. My aunt and uncle are also gonna get me something. And they came with a soup bag. You guys know what a soup bag is? He was 10 years old. Okay, this is not funny. Okay, maybe you guys all got personalized soup bags as your Hanukkah gifts and you were happy. But if you're 10 years old, Nintendo Game Boy always beats out personalized soup bag. That's it. It's not really much of a dance. Like, okay, where am I going by myself that I need my name on this? You know what I mean? Nobody, like, I can't go anywhere without my parents. And he felt so upset. He said, I don't understand. So we were talking about it once. And you think about it, like, you don't deserve anything. You got it. I mean, it's a silly gift, but, like, you know, you don't just be happy with it. The concept of a present is something beyond. There's something beyond. And it could be that that's the pshat, the answer to the first question. The whole idea of a mesiba, the whole idea of getting together and doing mishtav simcha, when the etz in the mitzvah is not, the mitzvah is l'Hoidos L'Halel. But what is a mishtav simcha? If you go out on the street, or you go out even by us, a mishtav simcha is a time where a person is creating things for himself. We're feeding ourselves physically. We're being there. We're enjoying because of stuff for ourselves. That's mishtav simcha. What we want to do on Hanukkah is that we know it's L'Hoidos L'Halel. But the vaikite, the extent of what it means L'Hoidos L'Halel, is to take something that's physical, mundane, that services ourselves, and to take that to another level and say, we want to be L'Hoidos L'Halel with mishtav simcha. So you're right, it's a reshus. But today we want to take that reshus. Take that reshus, that's betzim and amachoyev. And that's because of that, the suda may be not so holy. But we're going to take it and make it into something that's very, very holy. Take it to a whole nother level. Make it something that Shaykh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's not about us. Even in the things that we do on a mundane level, we're taking it and making it something holy. There are many lessons that we just spoke out. I think in Hanukkah, in general, we understand the idea of reconnecting. But I think that this point of being Misrashal and Avodah is something that we all could relate to. It's at a point in the Zman where everybody's, you know, hopefully hitting their stride. And Lamaisa, it's an Ibriyar. And it takes, you know, it takes a Maccabee in order to, you know, ride it to the end. But Mitz Hashem, the Shishiva, already put up the sign for incentives and stuff. I saw some guys standing by the board today. I noticed, I saw there was only $700. I'm like, then I noticed there's another whole tier. There's a tier that's $300. I'm like, you could go on this trip for $300. So, wow, maybe I'll do it. But then the guy standing there, he says, it's impossible. You have to do $7, Akavataria, in a row. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. But do you realize if everybody here in this room would spend 1 hour a night, or even a half an hour a night, from now until Purim, that's 120 hours on $7. 120 hours? 120 hours? You know what 120 hours is? It's a large amount of time. I'd say it's 120 hours. It's long. It's almost a whole week, I think. It's huge. It's huge. It's a huge, huge amount of time. Just sitting and doing that. And nobody could do that? I'm saying guys get to level 700 on Call of Duty in 120 hours. You know what I'm saying? It's like 120 hours? But everybody has to say they can't do it. Why can't you do it? It's not Nigeia. I'm doing it every day. I know this Gemara. I don't want to do it again. It's not true. We have to be mechazik. It's a time now where a person can go ahead and be mechazik himself. Take it weiter. Push beyond your comfort zone. Start living. Be alive. Be lahoidoisu lahalel. Connect to something bigger than you. Recognize that if you live in yourself, your world is small. But if you push beyond and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your world is humongous. I just want to end with a small story that I heard. There's a Holocaust museum outside the old city by the diaspora. By the diaspora yeshiva. A fellow named Merenstein. He started setting it up. He said that one day an old man walked in and he said to him, I would like you, I see that there's people making menorahs here and different types of things. This is how he heard the story. It needs more birur, but the message is very powerful. He told him, he says, I would like you, I see you making different exhibits. Could you make an exhibit, a menorah, out of my fingers? The guy's like, out of my fingers? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. He holds up his hand, his two fingers, and the rest are missing. So he's like, you know what? Whatever you'd like. You come back, and I'll try to fashion something in the shape of your fingers. You come back and do it. Okay. A few weeks later, a middle-aged person comes in, and he says, you know, my father died. And he told me that he stopped by over here. We were discussing this. And he asked him to make a menorah. Let me explain to you something that my father did, what my father was talking about. Why did he have only two fingers? He says, they were in the camps. The Nazis in Machshimon were making big problems. We all know they were literally destroying Klal Yisrael, nefesh by nefesh. Torture. There was no mokum at all for mitzvahs and Torah. The people who held on stark. You needed to be very, very special. Came Hanukkah time, my father so badly wanted to light the menorah. But there was no oil, there was no menorah, there was nothing there. So he put his hand against the window, and he noticed that the reflection of the light coming in against the window, when he held up his finger, the reflection of the light through his finger sort of like made the glow bigger. And my father said, this will be my Ner Hanukkah. And he held his finger on the first night, he held it like this, the second night like this, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth night. He held his hands against the window to see how the light reflected in through the window and grew bigger because of his action. And he says, my father, because of that, He got frostbite on all his fingers, and eventually they had to amputate every single one of his fingers. And that's why he wants you to make a Hanukkah menorah in the shape of his fingers. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That is being connecting to something bigger than you. That is saying that it's not about me. I want to be closer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us all this chutz to be able to celebrate Hanukkah and understand this message, to find the strength that's within all of us, to taka be like the Hashmonaim, and amidst Hashem we should be zoiche, and here be amen to the Geula Shleima, the Naimar Amen.